listening to the Candy Shop Talk, brought to you by Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards and Research, and hosted by Kevin W. Grossman, because improving candidate experience always impacts the business bottom line. Welcome again, everybody, to another The Candy Shop Talk podcast episode, where we discuss how improving candidate experience impacts recruiting and the business for the better. With me today is Jonathan Leap, Senior Human Resources Specialist in Talent Acquisition and Selection at Colorado Springs Utilities. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you.
And you're also, Colorado Springs Utilities is a multi-year candy winner as well, yes?
Yes, we are. Thank you.
Excellent. So do me a favor, Jonathan. First, give us a little bit of background about in your recruiting past and how it led to the role you're in today.
As far as my background, I've spent probably about 20 years in HR, almost exclusively in recruiting and selection. Started with Aon Consulting, actually doing selection system design and training Fortune 500 companies how to implement hiring practices for everything from their national college recruiting programs to implementing assessment centers on site for, some of the large automotive clients back in the Detroit area and other Fortune 500 companies.
Excellent.
That work led to actually moving out to Colorado, overseeing some staffing projects for one of the regional Baby Bells out here. Mm-hmm. I moved into actually working into the IT sector, doing technical recruiting for a few years, and then moved back into leading up talent acquisition and recruiting functions for a healthcare system here in Colorado Springs. And about 6.5, almost 7 years ago, started working at the utility organization locally.
So, and two different industries with their own unique challenges, right? Going from healthcare to utilities. But one of the things that I am always fascinated about are the differences between industries. And I know you're not one of the usual suspects from a large technology or retail or manufacturing hospitality organization. What are the challenges when it comes to recruiting? And we'll get more into candidate experience in a minute, but just from a recruiting perspective, when you went on board, what were those key challenges that you hadn't faced in other industries?
Yeah, so one of the things that I found moving into the utility sector was we were dealing with a situation where we are targeting some of the hardest to fill positions that when you look at some of the nationwide surveys done from employers as far as our workforce, and that would be information technology, skilled trade and craft roles, and engineers. So those are a predominant mix of what we hire for here, as well as those construction type roles. And then the other roles are just, kind of those business operations and support roles to make sure we're able to provide the services we provide to our community. So we're a four-service utility. We provide water, wastewater, gas, and electric services to the Colorado Springs area to mm-hmm. about 450,000 or more customers. And so what we were running into when I first started here, particularly the engineering series of positions for us, there were some surveys out there that had shown that engineers' rate going to work in the utility sector, one of the bottom three least desired industries to go work for.
Yikes.
So obviously, employer brand then and the opportunities of getting the information out there as far as what the opportunity represents was a challenge for us. And, the last thing you want to do is you spend all this time on creating a positive employer brand and talking about the opportunities and then have a bad candidate experience. So
how about any differences then between the engineering folks that you source and recruit versus the trade professionals that you need to bring on board as well? Is it the same kind of situation or?
It's a very similar situation as far as, what we're dealing with in terms of, it's not so much the desirability, it's the fact that there's probably not enough skilled trades professionals in the country.
Correct.
And that's probably a problem more so with the way our education system has gone to valuing, that 4+ year degree and not realizing, that we still have a whole sector of our economy that is reliant on people with those skills and skilled trades. And so what you've seen, even at the high school level and the community college not so much community college level, but the high school level, there's less emphasis on the, you know, the classes that typically would have been feeder opportunities for folks in these types of roles. So the shop classes, you know, the auto classes, you know, welding and so on, things like that. A lot of school districts have gone to really pushing towards this four-year, you know, program instead. So it's a matter of getting the word out there and education out there to, you know, not just the school districts, but parents and students alike, that there's great career opportunities that exist out there and do not necessarily require going to a four-year college to get that the required skills.
I'm pretty sure you told me this before, but correct me if I'm wrong, that don't you offer programs that also help to kind of get folks into skilled training programs, I believe, potentially early recruits? Was that you?
Yeah, we do. We you know, there's a number of, we have apprenticeship programs, obviously. Right. So in those apprenticeship programs, you know, over the course of 4 years or so, someone can, and while getting paid to do the work, actually get skilled up to be professional in the career field. But it still comes down to, you know, there oftentimes is some, you know, aptitude and desire to actually go into these types of career fields. And, you know, probably one of the bigger challenges for us is to see some diversity in those career fields as well. So, you know, but, you know, there's studies out there that show that if you haven't captured their interest by sometimes as early as middle school and early high school, you've lost them, you know, because they're starting to chase some other shiny objects and other career opportunities because they just don't know what exists out there.
I totally appreciate the commentary. How, based on what you know, because you're trying to actually find these individuals, even if you have apprenticeship programs you put into place, how dire is the situation in the U.S. when it comes to skilled trade? That's my last question about it, but I'm just professional curiosity.
Yeah, good question. Well, I can tell you the Center for Energy Workforce Development puts out some studies every couple of years looking at the retirement projections within our sector, and upwards towards 60% of the workforce is eligible to retire over the next 10 years, depending on different categories there, but depending on whether it's skilled trades or engineers and so on, estimates are as high as up to 60% is eligible to retire. So we haven't done a very effective job in replenishing the talent pool for the industry as a whole. So is it dire? You know, we're probably in a lucky situation here in Colorado Springs because of our location, a highly desired city to live in. We tend to rate in the top 10 across a variety of surveys every year. So our location helps to attract some of the talent that we need. But at some point in time, I think nationwide, we're just kicking the can down the road a little bit. So
yeah. Wow. No, thank you for sharing that. And that kicking the can down the road, eventually we're going to catch up with that can. So
exactly.
It's going to be in a fixed location on the street. Let's go ahead and we'll bounce back now to candidate experience. So based on even what you've already shared, it was employment branding challenge that you guys have been working on and developed since you've been on board with you and your team. What else did you, when it came to how you're treating candidates, again, quote unquote, candidates as customers, again, with all the different very, very specific technical and highly skilled positions that you're sourcing for, what else did you consider and what did you do about that candidate experience journey?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the first challenges we are dealing with is we are a municipally owned for-service utility. So typically when people think of a municipal or government organization, typically the response is not a positive candidate experience, kind of a black hole effect or these lengthy application processes, you know, throw your hat in the ring and then wait forever to hear a response, those types of situations.
Right.
And being a city-owned organization, obviously, you know, our customers, our rate-based are our community.
Yep.
We wanted to make sure that the experience they received from us was a positive experience that coincided with our efforts and initiatives from a customer service perspective and how we provide services to our community from those in those four services. So from an organization perspective, our ratepayers, we tend to rate one of the highest rated utility providers in the country. And we wanted to make sure that also showed on our applicant side, not just our ratepayer side. So it's kind of making sure that both sides of the experience for us. We're kind of sharing the same message. So we really just sat down and looked at our whole process on the app, everything from the application, the questions that were on the application form itself. Were there things on there that were necessary to make hiring decisions, or were there questions on there that were just kind of legacy when no one ever thought, why are we asking this? Everything from that to evaluating how we do our background check process, so a variety of different things. We were just looking at the overall experience, how long does it take to fill our positions and things like that. So
what were the, again, for multi-year winner, meaning the past 3 years that I know that your company has won a Candy Award, what just participating, I mean, the award aside, which is great, and I'm glad that you were one of the winners as well, but obviously I know based on previous discussions you and I had, the research data itself, at least certain parts of it, have been valuable to you. Can you highlight what you've gleaned from the Candy research that helped you guys in your recruiting efforts?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think some of the things that we took from the research were really by the nature of the questions themselves that were being asked when filling out the survey response was getting us to think about what are we doing as it relates to this. And if it was completely a new question, like, okay, should we be doing this? And how does that tie into our bigger initiative? So some of the things that we implemented, we had been surveying our applicants post, completing the application process for some time. But what we saw as a gap is we weren't doing the same thing for, different phases of the selection process in between there and making an offer or hiring decision. So what were people saying about going through the interview process with us? What were they saying in regards to completing any tests or assessments or on-site, work samples, things like that with us? So we wanted to kind of get that information as well to see what the perceptions were and see if there's any opportunities for improvement, because continuous improvement is one of our core values in our organization. So it was really a matter of looking at that and seeing where we could find some opportunities.
Excellent. So based on that, what I know, I'm sure there's standard recruiting metrics that I'm sure that you look at every week, if not month, and throughout the year, and the reports that you provide to executive management based on your talent acquisition efforts. But what are just a few examples that are tied to connect to two dots, and those dots would be recruiting performance as well as candidate experience. Are there certain measures that you report on regularly that are tied to those two?
We do measure and evaluate our recruiter performance, one of the things that we as recruiters here do every time we close a requisition with our hiring managers, they are sent a survey to find out how are we performing, did we meet their needs, and so on. Everything from communication to the consultations that we have with them, providing expert advice and, satisfaction with the quality of the candidate pool that they've received and so on. So that's historically been a part of our process. I think some of the opportunities we saw we made some changes based on some of the information. We really looked at our interview stage of the process. Sometimes it's as simple as we saw in some of our survey responses that, about, let's say 80%, and it's probably a ballpark number, but 80% said that they were getting communication, but that means 20% were not getting communication or follow-up as far as confirmation of the date, time, location, and, information about the interview process itself. So we saw some opportunity there. One of the things we saw in response to that stage was, people were not being told what to expect next after the interview was done. So a simple thing that we made was to just make sure we added a reminder in our interview guides that we provide our hiring managers as a reminder at the end of the interview to let the candidate know what to expect next as far as how long the process is going to take, when they're going to hear from us, et cetera. So it's just some little things like that, just that you just don't, catch visibility to unless you're actually asking your applicants and candidates to share some feedback with them.
No, absolutely. And I can tell you from a macro level, and this is based on the candidate experience workshops that we've been doing that we started in February. One of the things that I'm highlighting is just the correlation between those that have a not so good experience, so the 1-star experience versus the 5-star experience, and what they're getting, even especially like during different parts of the recruiting process, the interview process, for example. And, based on the data from last year, from 2015, it's nearly 60%. Of the individuals that had a really bad experience was because they didn't receive any information prior to interviews. at all, no schedules, no anything like that. And one of the main reasons on the negative side for candidate withdrawal from the data was because of time disrespected during appointments and interviews as well. So, I mean, again, you know, not shocking, but it's just, it is when you start looking at the numbers, you're like, wow. So it's good to hear that you guys have been doing some good work in that regard. What I wanted to ask you next is there anything coming in the horizon based on the work that you've been doing today that is you're willing to share, of course, but you're proud of, that maybe will help advance the whole recruiting best practice and candidate experience at your organization?
I'm going to have to think about that one a little bit, Kevin, to be honest.
Oh, that's okay. And if you listen, I can edit this. If you don't have, we don't have to call that out. If you've got nothing to speak to, don't worry about it. I'll just edit this out.
Yeah. You know, I can tell you there's some things we're doing, but it's not so consequential. I think that would be of any, oh, wow. You know, that type of stuff. So, you know, if this is helpful, you know, one of the things that we did start doing last year, a lot of our communication to candidates was done via email. So everything's very text intensive, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things that we started doing last year, we started creating YouTube videos that provide instructions on everything from how to complete the application to questions on some of those more, you know, because one of the biggest challenges for us for some of our jobs, knowing that we're going after skilled trade and craft folks who are not typically living in the virtual environment on the internet or on the computer, is, you know, how do I just even complete the application form itself? So we've actually provided some YouTube videos that they could actually watch on everything. How do I upload my resume? How do I pre-populate my application form using my resume or my LinkedIn profile? How do I set up job alerts? You know, if I want to get notified of email via email of future positions with you all, things like that. So,
no, that's great. And that's, I mean, and I would think, I mean, you led me down that path too, but that's, you know, that's also fairly progressive for the utilities industry as well. Right. To be able to, would you agree?
I would agree. You don't see that too often.
So. No, you don't. So that's good. And are those, I guess the question is, and I'm assuming that they are being consumed, so there is a payoff there, right?
I mean, yeah, definitely. I do check on those once in a while, see where our traffic is and where we're getting traction. But they are on our YouTube channel, so they're publicly visible. Knowing that YouTube is number two or number three top searched search engine, you know, it also provides some traction from a jobs perspective. So,
Jonathan, thank you so much for your time today. The last thing I wanted to ask you is, outside of work, outside of candidate experience, outside of talent acquisition, what is it that you have a sweet tooth for?
What is it we have a what? I'm sorry.
What is it that you have a sweet tooth for? What is it that you like to do outside of work?
Outside of work.
Yeah.
You know, one of the pleasurable things about living in Colorado Springs is we live, work, and play in America's playground here. So the quality of life with 300 days of sunshine per year and, you know, very low humidity, which means very few mosquitoes, which I love growing up in Michigan. Yeah. So I love getting outdoors and doing things, running, biking, hiking, skiing, those types of things. So I would say those are the things that occupy my time outside of work. So.
Excellent. Well, I'm with you in that regard. We're a family of goers and outdoorsy folk too. We live in the Bay Area, where we've been getting a deluge of rain, which is good because we need that in California right now. But again, most of the time it's mild and it's always outdoor time, so that's always good. So, Jonathan, thanks again, and we'll see you down that lovely candy cane lanes at some point.
Sounds great. Thank you for the opportunity, Kevin.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Candy Shop Talk. For more information about Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards and research, please visit www.thetalentboard.org.